reconciled, you are justified, you are what? Sanctified. Yeah, I love that word. You are sanctified, you are set apart, and you are special, and you are declared free and white as snow again because of the price that I have paid. My blood is special, my blood is perfect, my blood made you righteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good morning. Didn't mean to be in your face preaching. Y'all can sit down this morning, and we'll have our kids be dismissed. They're going to come back at the end of service to graduate to the next for their next school year, or their Sunday school year. So we're excited about that. And remember, next Sunday is our kickoff for our new Sunday school program. Bill Fuller, stand up, if you would, please. This is the great Bill Fuller. And he will be doing our adult Sunday school class. Kicks off next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, for adults and children. And then for 10 o'clock service, good morning, Maddie. Well then, for 10 o'clock service, only the kids that are K and under will go to the back for a class. Other kids will sit out here to be part of the worship. So we're excited about that. I think it's important that our little older kids hear the Word of God and experience that. So good morning. Got a haircut, man. Like 3 inches shorter now. All righty. So we'll grab the kids. Can somebody close that door for me back here? David, you get that door. Thank you. We'll bring the kids back into end of service to do their graduation. Randy has certificates for each of them that are here today, so we're excited about that. Can you have my Bible there, Jerry? Can you reach it? Thank you. As you can see, this is what we did Wednesday night, or what Randy did Wednesday night for our VBS graduation. A lot of the kids weren't here for that, but the ones that showed up had a good time, and they sang 4 songs, and they were very engaging, and they were very funny. And they were very talky, which is good, because you want them talking about God, right? And they all had little candles here with their names on, as you can see up here. And then Randy created all of this, and I thought it was so cool that, you know, talking about in the beginning. So I told him, I said, well, leave this up, because I can take a message off of this, no problem. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, in the beginning. And I'm thankful that in the beginning, I was on God's mind. That in the beginning, I was planned. I wasn't an afterthought. I wasn't I might make a gale back here. I just think I might make a gale. See, you got to believe that God has all foreknowledge, which means he knows everything that's going to happen. Now, we can't explain that. I mean, I know some of us think we know it all, especially some of us egotistic guys, right? We know it all. Your wife tried to tell you something. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm doing. Yes, I know where that goes. Yes, I know, dear. You know, we all have that moment, and we're clueless. Most of the time we're clueless. But God's not clueless. God truly knows everything in the plan he has for humanity and creation. So in the beginning, you were on purpose. In the beginning, you were supposed to be here. In the beginning, you were ordained. In the beginning, God had a plan for you. And this is important to realize that we were in the scheme of God's eternal plan. We weren't just something that just happened to pop up because mom and dad got frisky. Okay? We were supposed to be here. We were ordained by God to be in the season that we're in right now. Our heart beats because God spoke it. We are alive because God woke us up. We only exist because God allows us to exist. And that's a powerful thing. So in the beginning, there was a big bang. Oh, yeah, there was a big old bang up in there. But that bang wasn't some accidental cosmic explosion with no order and no direction. This bang that happened was ordered and commanded by the voice of God. He spoke and things happened. He spoke and things were created. He spoke and things that weren't there all of a sudden became there. Because he spoke. Just like when the fishermen were out fishing all night and they come back in, they had a bad night, didn't catch nothing. Jesus says, go on back out there, master. Look, we know you're the master, all that, but we know how to fish. And there ain't nothing out there. I've been fishing all night long, hadn't caught ne'er a one, as the old timers say, right? Ne'er a one. That's right. Ain't caught nothing. You know what she's saying? That's good preaching. Kids understand that. They ain't got all this stuff built up, all this anger and jealousy and strife. They're just, you know, he's funny, and that's all I care about right now. They went out all night. They went back out. Jesus said, go back out and just trust me. So they went back out on the boat, said, drop your nets. And remember what the disciple said? At your word. At your word, I'll drop it. In other words, didn't really believe he'd catch anything, but at his word. And when they dropped those nets, all of a sudden, their nets were so full of fish. They weren't there before, right? Kind of like that Beauty and the Beast song, right? I saw something there I didn't see before. You know what? The fish weren't there before. There's no doubt they were not there. But at God's word, when he said, drop your net, as their faith dropped that net, then the fish that weren't there appeared, because God is the creator of all things. God could have created them 5,000 fish right then. Who are we to say? He could just boom. He created this, right? The sun and the earth, Saturn, and the rest of them. He created all of those planets and the sun and all of that stuff. So we're going to talk about that. Let's get into Word. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start in the very beginning, in the beginning. Genesis 1, we're going to read 1 through 4, then a couple more verses in 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, this heaven is talking about is not talking about the heaven we talk about going to when we die. This is talking about all the space that's out there, and then the earth being, of course, the matter that we're on now. But everything, all the space, he created all of that. And look at verse 2. The earth was without form, and it was void. We know what void means, right? It means empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Is that not our life? That we are empty and we are void, and we need the light of Jesus to shine in our hearts. And we need his Spirit to move upon our flesh. And nothing changes unless God moves. We can't beat salvation or living right or quit you drinking, quit you smoking, quit you doping, quit you whatever you're doing. You know, we can't beat that into someone. But what God can do is he can move upon the face of your waters. He can move upon the intents of your heart. He can overshadow you with a power that's beyond your power, and he can cast that thing out and cast that thing down. The best light we have to show other people is the light of God, not the light of us. Oh my. Can you imagine us trying to be a light to anyone? I mean, really far as based on us, I mean. So we share God's light. Here's what God did. Here's what Christ alone did. He is Lord over all. He's Lord over every principality, every power that comes against you, every struggle, every addiction, every stronghold, every form of darkness, every evil spirit, everything that comes against you. God is Lord over all of that. And they all have to bow the knee at the name of Jesus. Nothing more powerful than that. He created all of this that we see. And we know that our earth is, in itself is a miracle, because as you can see right here, unlike in reality, we are not hanging by a string. Rain just did that for, you know. There's no string attached to space holding us up. We are literally spinning and rotating in the middle of nothing. And we're not falling. And we're not rising up. And we're not falling off the earth. And the polar bears, or whoever lives in the South Pole, they're not falling off the earth. They're on the bottom of that earth, and somehow they're still walking. It's amazing how that is in my mind. But this earth is rotating, and we're going at such a fast rate of speed, but we can't even tell we're moving, not unless you've got something inside of you. You can't tell you're moving, but we're rotating. And then that sun right there, 93 million miles away from us, can burn your skin to a crisp if you're out in it too long. How can something 93 million miles away affect me that much? That's how massive, that's how intense God created that. And then we know the moon controls the tides. The moon's a light by night and the sun's a light by day. God divided that for us. God created that for us. In the beginning, this whole setup was for humanity. It wasn't just to be a spectacle or a science project. It was for us to experience. And if your life is void this morning, it's empty, it's dark, you're in a dark place, a dark way, Let the Spirit of God move upon you, and He can take that darkness away, and He can pour His light upon your life. You know what? You know what darkness really is? I read this. I mean, it makes sense. Darkness has no life in itself. Darkness is simply the absence of light. See, we have power to have lights. Lights is powered. But the only way darkness can exist is if there is no light. Jesus was the light of the world. We'll get to that in a little bit. He was the light to mankind. And He lights up our world. And He lights up our heart. And the dark places that we walk in, the dark regions of our minds, those places that we can't get out of, those vicious cycles that we repeat over and over and over that seem to hold us down, the light of God can shine in a moment, in an instant, release us from that and take us out of that and set us free from that, because the light illuminates, the light makes alive, the light shines, the light makes our way clear. That's why the Bible says His word's like a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It makes it clear for us to see. Don't you hate getting up in the middle of the night if you got no lights and bumping in a dresser in the bedroom trying to get to the bathroom? You stomp your toe, you trip over the dog, you step on a cat. I mean, it's terrible. If you got kids, you step on toys, you know, ow, you're barefoot, you can't see nothing. You bump your knee in the door, you hit your leg on the handle. I mean, it's terrible. Can't see. When the power goes out, we freak out, don't we, at night? I mean, boy, we're talking about, you know what darkness is real quick when the power goes out about 11 o'clock at night. You're watching TV and you got 50 lights on the house. Microwave's going, washer's going, dishwasher's going. Everybody's in the house doing whatever, and all of a sudden, oh. You know something else darkness does, at least it does for me? It makes me feel claustrophobic. If I'm in total darkness, I feel claustrophobic. I feel like it is swallowing me alive. It's swallowing me up. I can't breathe. I feel trapped. I want my mommy. You know what I'm saying? I want to get out of the darkness. Now, I'm not scared of the dark, but when I'm in total darkness, I feel a sense of, okay, I feel trapped. I need to get to some light. It's terrible. This happened to me one time in my life, just once, thank God. You ever been driving down the road in your car at night and your headlights go out? Has that ever happened to anybody at night? Happened to me one time. Scariest thing in the world. Pitch dark at night, I'm driving down the road, mind my own business. All of a sudden, I guess it was a fuse or something electrical. My headlights went out. Guess what? I wasn't complaining no more about how dim my lights looked. They look pretty good if they come back on. Them things went out, and it was pitch black dark. And you couldn't see nothing. Remember the old Twilight Zone? I'm a Twilight Zone buff. I've watched them all millions of times, all of them. And the one where there's a little town where it didn't get daylight that day. They were going to hang a man that morning. And the sun didn't come up. And they were like, what is going on? They were the only place in the nation that the sun didn't come up, that little town. Well, the moral of the story is what was happening, it began to hit other nations, little pockets, and then other countries. Man, it gives me chills talking about it. Because what was happening is it was the hate of humanity for each other that was creating that darkness. It was the hate. And that hate was spreading and making everything dark, and there was no light. And do you know that we were, before Christ reconciled us, the Bible says He took the enmity away that was between us and God. Yes, enmity. In other words, there was a separation that we weren't God's friend necessarily, because of sin. But the love of Jesus, the love that the world has never saw, as they sung, stepped into this world, and it went to a cross for us. And when He did that, that light then began to shine the earth and take away the darkness that we walked in. Jesus really is the answer to our problems. People don't like to hear that because it just don't make sense, especially to the smart guy, the intellectual man or woman, the one who has scientific facts, the one who has so many letters behind their name, it looks like a foreign language because they're so smart. I've got a PHFSCYX3Z4Z59T pi degree. Good for you. Can you put your socks on the right way? Let me just ask you that question. Because the Bible says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So if they don't believe there's a God or a creator, as Teresa said earlier, by just looking around nature, and they actually believe that all of this, I mean, think about this. Look at this visual. This is a pretty close visual. I didn't background Randy's work, but I'm sure it's right. When God created this, all of a sudden, just some explosion in the beginning happened. Just, you know, something's going down. I don't know. Something just happens in space. I mean, that don't even make any sense. I mean, it just makes no sense for these planets to be aligned and for the sun to be the center and for us to have the heat and the cooling and the seasons and for everything to rotate and everything's just too ordered. You don't get order out of chaos. You get order out of design. So that there was a big bang. I absolutely believe there was a moment in time where there was an explosion and a big bang, but it was God's voice that was the big bang. So the next time your scientist friend tells you, I believe a big bang, you can say, I do too. Well, I thought you was a Christian. I am a Christian. You believe in a big bang? I sure do. I said before like this, I believe that God said, bang! And it happened. That's what I believe. Verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light. It was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. When God said it, it appeared. Today, when God says it, it happens. God's word is here. This is God's spoken word. And I realize we have this, and I still believe that God speaks to us today. I believe God still speaks to our hearts. He still speaks. God can speak audibly. God can speak the word. There's nothing impossible with God. God could speak to Bill's cow if he wanted to out in his house and tell Bill something. I may ask him, was he on any kind of medication when it happened? But if he says no, I was sober. I mean, we see how God used a donkey, right, to speak. I mean, we see how God uses different things. So God can use what he wants. So I still believe God speaks. Look at verse, I got a haircut. This thing was down my ears now. Verse 26, excuse me. Here's God's greatest creation. God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now we are a special creation of God. 2 points I want to make here. I know we love our dogs and cats. We had to put our golden retriever down after 12 years. It was heartbreaking. We cried. It was a bad, bad day. But do you realize that we are the only creation that was created after the likeness of God? Animals weren't. We were. I know we love our animals. They have personalities and they bring us great comfort. But make no mistake, we are God's greatest creation. Animals also are very important to God. He created them for a reason and for a purpose. And they bring great comfort and they bring a great purpose into our lives. But I want you to understand that God, when he created in the beginning all of this universe and this world, we were to rule over everything that crawleth, that flieth, that swimmeth. We had dominion. God gave us authority and dominion in the earth. Of course, we lost that because of the fall of man, because of the fall of sin. We lost it. So now everything's out of order. Everything is chaotic. Nothing runs like it's supposed to. God provided for us. And all between those verses, it talks about, you know, of course, he created all things he created, you know, the waters and the grass and the plants and the trees. And he created all that stuff. We're going to skip all that this morning because my focus is about his creation, us, humanity, that we were on purpose. And when he took time to breathe life into man, he gave us responsibility and he gave us authority. And he made us in his image. And that image, of course, was marred at the fall of sin. But we can still reflect that image today because of redemption. No, we're not perfect. And no, life's still out of order. I truly believe that before the fall of man, that hurricanes, tornadoes, things like that didn't exist. There was no natural disasters. There was none of those things. But see, all of nature is off course now. Everything's out of whack because of sin. But one day, everything will be restored as it was. Look at Isaiah. I want to read a verse here in Isaiah. This is very interesting. Talking about us. In the beginning, we were on purpose. In the beginning, God created us. Isaiah 45:18. Look at this. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it. Not in vain. But he formed it to be what? Inhabited. Hallelujah. We were on purpose. We were supposed to be here. We did not, and I want to say this because I know we're in church, and I'm preaching to the, what you call the choir. Okay, so I understand that. So I know most of you don't believe this, or I hope you don't believe this, but some of you may. Man did not evolve out of something else. Man did not evolve from an ape. Man did not evolve from another creation. The Bible is clear that he created us individually by his word. He created us. And he created us and he placed us here for a purpose and a reason. And each of us have a reason. Each of us have a purpose. If your life's not going the way it was, you say, God, I don't know why I'm here. Why was I born? Why'd you put me here? Because all I do is suffer. All I do is have bad luck. I don't know why I'm here. Talk to God and say, Lord, I need to know why I'm here. Because I know you've got a purpose for me. And I know I'm on purpose. And I know I'm designed by you. And I know I was breathed upon by your breath to be a living life in this generation. I know that we're in a season that many of us don't like. I was talking to Mr. Williams yesterday on the phone, and you know, he's 78 years old now, and he was talking about how he just can't believe the world, the things he's seeing now from when he was a young person, how much the world has changed. And you know what? We think about days of yesterday with grandeur, so to speak. You know, we're like, oh, you know, back in that day. But you know what? We're in the right season at the right time that God appointed us to be in. I wasn't supposed to be born in 1850. I was supposed to be born when I was. I wasn't supposed to be born way back then. I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. I'm the age God wants me to be and the place he wants me to be right now. That's on purpose. We've got to understand that all things are ordered by God or allowed by God, but all things are in God's control. And there can't a thing man can do to stop what God wants to do. So we can try to justify, you know, people try to justify the creation and the world and all this and this and this. But, you know, there's, of course, a big thing about, you know, global warming and all that, and I don't get in all that. But I'm just saying this. I just know who's over the globe, and I know who's over the warming. That's all I need to worry about. So, you know, I just trust God, okay? I mean, if the icebergs fall off and we freeze to death, praise the Lord, I'm with Jesus. If the sun falls off the hook and blows us up, hey, we with Jesus. I mean, that's why we got to look at things. He's in control. We get too caught up in things that we have no control of. Remember what Jesus said? He said, you can't add one cubit by worrying about something. And what that really translates into in the Gospels, you can't add one year to your life by worrying about it, by stressed about it. We can't change how, I know we exercise and we do our little yoga, home, you know, and all that. You wear them yoga pants. You a soccer mom. I get it. All right, you do all the stuff. You do deep breathing exercises. When all those are good. Some of you don't do that now, you'll fall asleep on me. But I'm just saying, some of that's good. You know, Don runs 5Ks. That's wonderful. I've not ran one yet. I'm not that motivated. But he is. That's wonderful. And we can eat tofu until we throw up. We can be a vegan, a vegetarian, whatever. We cannot eat fried food, sweet food, no food. It don't matter. You've got to believe that God has got, the Bible says that God has your days numbered. He says he has every account of your life already written. It says all your members, which means all the days of your life, are written in his book. So I'm not saying go slop hog and go smoke, drink, dope, and eat till you die. I'm not saying that. I believe you take care of yourself. But you know what? Worrying about what if, oh my gosh, what if I get cancer like my dad? What if I get cancer like my mom? What if I get this? Or what if I die? I hope I make it to 60. I hope I make it to 50. I hope I make it to 70. And we worry and we stress. Man, God's in control. He created all of this. He created all of this.
He created all of us. Hallelujah. I think he knows what he's doing, so I trust the maker. He made this model. Whether you like it or not, I got a pretty good model. I like my 71 model. It's all right. I like it. I'm still not real high miles. I'm still pretty good. It's okay. I don't have quite the tread I used to have, but that's okay. I'm still rolling. I may crank a little slower, but that's okay. I'm still cranking. I like the model God gave me, and I trust the model God gave me. And this is who God made me. We have these cosmetic surgeons, and I understand there's real situations that need to be fixed on people. But to go get a different nose is because you don't like your big opal nose. Not that you have a big opal nose, Melly. You know, or get this, or other body parts that you modify. I'm like, you know what? God made you. He made you the way he wanted you to be. Now, I wish Mindy kept my hair. It bothers me a little bit. We've had to talk about that. But the point is, it's okay. I've still got some hair. Yes, I don't have no hair. I have some hair. So I'm thankful. I could look like Kojak, and I don't. So I'm happy about that. We were created, this earth was, to be inhabited. And then he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's nobody above me. I'm the creator of all things. It's amazing. I read this example where someone says, everybody sees a car, a Toyota, for instance. You know that somebody created that Toyota. You go to Belk's and get a dress, somebody created that dress. You go get a wedding cake, somebody created that cake. Hello? We'll believe that a car was made it was created by a designer. We'll believe a cake was created by a specialist, a designer. We believe a dress was created by a special designer. It was on purpose. It was created. It was, you know, the way. But yet we look at all around us and we just think, oh, it just happened. Just happened one day. Just, you know, everything went this way and just, you know, just fail. It don't work that way. Try taking a bunch of car parts, put them in a big old scooper. I'm trying to think of the name. Scoop them up with a bulldozer. Bunch of car parts, and then drop them on the ground, see if it makes a car. There it is. That's what man thinks happened to the universe. Just some cosmic thing out of order, chaotic explosion that made no sense, and all of a sudden we got all this beautiful creation. It's amazing, isn't it? One more scripture in John chapter 1. We talked about in the beginning, we were on purpose. In the beginning, God created the universe, all this stuff. John 1, to me, matches Genesis 1 so well. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things. Everybody say all things. All things. Think about this. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehended is very important. It means do not, cannot overtake, cannot overcome. The darkness could not overcome the light of Jesus in the earth. Remember that the Pharaoh had a decree, king, to try to just kill all the little male babies when Jesus was born? And the angel came and got Mary and Joseph out of there. And they went and escaped. And then when the king was dead, they came back. So they were trying to destroy that seed then. They couldn't do it. So then they get Jesus and they arrest him and they scourge him and they put him on a cross and they crucify him. Okay, now he's dead. It's over. That couldn't stop him. They put him in a grave, wrap him up, seal him up. One day goes by. Yeah, he's done. 2 days go by. He's done. 3 days go by. Third day, something happened. That light of Jesus overcame the darkness of sin. And that stone was rolled away, and he came out with the grave clothes off, his pierced hands, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me should not perish but have everlasting life. I've overcame death. I've tasted it for you. You never have to die now because I've died for you. That light won the victory. The darkness of man and evil and hate. Remember as they screamed to Jesus, to Pilate, crucify him. Crucify. They're probably using curse words. They cussed back in. I ain't going to do it in front of you, but they cussed back then. Imagine the words they probably said to him. Well, I ain't going to do it away from him either. Is that what I mean? Think about the words they probably say is, oh, curse that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that, he thinks, blah, blah, blah. Just snarling and nasty. And the very ones that were cursing him and blaspheming him and spitting on him. You want to get my wife hot, go spit on her. She will slap the bejesus out of you, so to speak, right? They spit on him, slapped him. Gave him 39 stripes across his back with a leather whip that had pieces of bone inside of the whip that when the bones hit his flesh and they pulled the whip back, it tore his flesh out. And then they hung on a cross and he suffocated to death, losing his breath. Those same people that did that and mocked him and laughed and thought it was a sport, and when he fell off the cross, beat him and told him to get back up. Those same people that did that, it's the same people that light was shined for. There's been no greater love than this, church. No greater love. The same people that did that, it's the same people he died for. So yes, those ones that helped crucify him, yes, he's their redemption too. For the same ones that spit on him, yeah. He's their redemption too. That's the beauty of this creator. That in the beginning, we were on purpose. In the beginning, there was a plan of salvation. In the beginning, there was a cross. In the beginning, all of this. Because we just read here where that he was the Word. And that Word was with God, and the Word was God. It goes on down that chapter to say the Word was made flesh. So we know the Word we're talking about is Jesus. So he's always been. And he was in the beginning. But he was manifested 2,000 years ago in the earth to pay the price for sin. He already knew what knucklehead things we would do in our lives. He knew of the dark places we would go. He knew of all the sin we commit. He knew of all the bad thoughts and dirty thoughts and bad talk and bad language and bad habits and bad stuff and all the stuff that we would do in our life. He knew that ahead of time, yet he didn't change his plan of redemption. He went to that cross for an ungrateful people. He went to a cross for a people that wanted him dead for doing nothing wrong. But he did that and he paid that price. And all this was part of the beginning. The beginning for us to have a new beginning. This is why Christ did it. He was the light that shined into the world, and that light could not be overcome with any form of darkness. Because whether people want to admit it or not, or say it or not, Jesus is still Lord, and he always will be. And there's nothing better to come along than Jesus. There's nothing can cancel out what he did. They can take it out of the history books. They can take all the Bibles out of the country. They can erase it. They can take all the songs away off YouTube that talk about the cross. They can try to erase the memory that there was ever a Jesus or ever a cross. But it will not change the fact that there was a Jesus. There was a cross. It did happen. It is finished. It is over. It is done. It is complete. And we have a future that darkness can never stop, ever, because the light's too strong. Oh, and that light's still going. And I'm so excited about our young children who will be part of our worship service beginning next week, because I want them to hear this word and experience this. I know in Sunday school they hear about Jesus, but I want them to feel the moving of the Holy Spirit in this sanctuary, that they know and they're drawn by the Holy Spirit that, yes, God's calling me and God is speaking to me. There's nothing better than that, to hear God call your name and for God to call your voice.
Mel, come on up and get ready to sing that song. I want to have Melanie sing this song this morning. It's called As I Am. And it just tells it like it is. I seen a church sign this week. By the way, I don't know if you read our church sign. Shirley changed yesterday. There's a different message on both sides of the sign, which I love. People going to work see one message, and they come home and they see another one. They get a double dose. It's awesome. But on one side of the sign, it says, what does the one say about one day? One day or day one, you decide. It's pretty good, isn't it? Let this be a day that you say, you know what? This is the day I'm going to decide that I'm going to trust God with my life. He knew me from the beginning. I'm here on purpose. I've got a plan to fulfill in God's eyes. I'm not some accident. I'm not some freak. I'm not some, you know, out of order creation. I understand that sometimes the methods of why, how life comes is not maybe the methods we would normally choose. I get that. But I'm a firm believer that life has to come from God. And that life wouldn't be here if God didn't have a purpose for it. This song was called Just As I Am. And the altar is, of course, open. And if you want to come talk to God this morning and say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I know I'm on purpose. I know I'm planned. I know I'm supposed to be here. But God, I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what direction you want me to step into. God, I'm in a place I don't like, and I don't know how to get out of where I'm at. We get in cycles, church. We get in some bad cycles, and it's hard to break those cycles. Speaking of the cycle I have broken this week, on a little lighter note, I'm very proud of this, actually. This marks 8 days for me. Today's day 8. Now, some of you will be like, really? But if you understand, I text Chuck this week about this. If you understand how this was for me, it was a big deal. This marks day 8 that I have drunk no sweet tea. I went 8 straight days and drunk no sweet tea. Oh, went to Mi Pablo's last week. I got the best sweet tea, Mi Pablo's. I get water. So I've drunk no sweet tea. Of course, I'm not drunk soft drinks either, so I'm not substituted it. I've drunk water and I've drunk juice for 8 days. And I text Chuck. I said, man, there's a God. I've been 7 days now with no sweet tea. Now, what I'm worried about, here's what I'm talking about cycles. Because, see, I have a cycle, especially when.
See how jumpy he is without the caffeine?
Oh, yeah. Especially when Ashley starts back to school, I get morning routine because I take her to school every morning. So, you know, my routine is I would get up in the morning, take her to school, and then I would stop almost every morning. I didn't always get food. I did sometimes, but not every morning. But I always would at least go to McDonald's, get me a big sweet tea, and then go to church for the morning and drink all my tea. So that was my routine. Stop at McDonald's, get my tea, go to church. You know, or go to Arby's. You can get any size drink at Arby's for $1. So I'm getting this sweet tea this size for $1. Okay? So I go to Arby's up here. So I drink McDonald's tea, okay? I'll be here at the church. We'll get lunchtime, right? I get hungry again. So I run to Arby's, give me another big tea at lunchtime. I mean, I'm serious. I probably was drinking half a gallon a day or more normally. Seriously, maybe a gallon a day. I don't know. So I've been 8 days. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying I'm breaking this forever. So don't nobody, I seen you had sweet tea. You went to Logan's, Pastor. I'm not saying it's a break forever. I was just trying to see if I could do it. Because it bothered me that I was letting it control me so much. And so I pulled back, and I have missed it, but it's been good. So 8 days, and I don't know when I'll go back to it. I probably will. I'm going to try to do unsweet tea. I know it's the Yankee thing. I know. Ugh. I'm going to try unsweet tea. Because unsweet tea is healthy for you. It's got the antioxidants and all that good stuff. But I don't know if I can do it. So anyway, but I saw a church sign. Going back to church sign. I saw a church sign. See, I got ADD too. I got a church sign. See, this church sign says, come as you are, change inside. I thought that was kind of neat, actually. That was at my church. I thought that was kind of neat.
I thought you meant that's what Shirley.
No, that's not our sign, no. But I thought it was kind of neat. The church sign said, come as you are, change inside. And that's really what Jesus does. He calls us as we are, and then he begins to change us inside. So as this song is sung, if there's something you want to give to God today, you're tired of it, you're ready to lay it down, whether it's an addiction, a stronghold, something in your mind that's got you battled, just maybe it's fear, maybe it's depression,
whatever it is. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Whatever you are battling this morning that you want to let go of and say, you know what, God, in the beginning, you created me for your purpose, and I'm not living according to your purpose for my life, and I want this gone today. I want to walk out of here free. I want you to come as you are. She sings this song. It's a beautiful song. The altar's open. Come talk to God. Just give it to him today. Stay at the altar for a minute. That's fine. Keep praying if you're up here. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Thank you, Lord. The altar is still open right now. If anyone wants to come, go ahead and mini play a little bit right here. Give you an opportunity if you want to come talk to him before we leave. Just give it to him.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we know your presence in this place. We know you do love us as we are. All you ask, God, is we give our hearts and lives to you and trust you with the rest. That we surrender, God, with hands lifted up and knees and just say, Lord, I give all of me to all of you, not part of me, God. I don't want to hold nothing back today. I'm ready to give all of me to all of you today and trust that you can do a work I can't do on my own. God is speaking to you.
come this morning and talk to him. Enemy we have is the accuser accusing us all the time of what we're not, reminding us of all of our failures, even maybe currently you're failing, and that's all you're seeing is the failing. You're not seeing the blood of the Lamb. You're not seeing the redemptive work of Christ. You're not seeing the empty cross and the empty tomb and the risen Savior. All you're seeing is what you're not. All you're seeing is your failures, your mistakes, and your sin. That's all you're seeing. And that's the devil loves to keep us there, because as long as he keeps us there, we're not seeing God. We're just seeing the sin. The enemy's winning that battle. But we are clean and white as snow through the blood of Jesus. He says, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. They're not going to be held against you anymore. I paid the price for that. So when you look in the mirror, don't look at what you're not, but look at who you are. I am a child of the living God today and forevermore. We have to change our perception. I know people say about you, you're a drunk, you're a drug addict, you're this, you're that, you're a loose woman, you have all these kids, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're trash, you're all this. We got to take all that out and say, no, I'm not. Jesus has cleaned me up. Yes, Jesus' blood has beautified me. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm a brand new creation in Christ. Glory, that's who we are in Jesus. Quit blaming yourself. You are born into sin, and only the price of the blood can make you righteous. When we start seeing ourselves that way, wow, God, you do love me.
and that's all I needed to know is that you love me. Beautiful. You know what I just want to pray before we close up this part of service? Everybody is good this morning. You can stay up here, Mindy. Gordon, come on up if you would, on a bass and a drummer. If you will come up, can you drum with her? Randy, the kids, and I come on in. If I get the ushers up here, we'll be able to save our offering for the kids who are graduated. You got something you can play, Pimp?
I'll try.
You got a bass and a drummer here. So. We'll pray our offering first and kick it off. Lord, we pray for this offering this morning that you bless it and you use it for your glory. As we sow seed with faith and with love, with obedience to your word, God, take this seed, breathe upon it, and multiply it for the kingdom of God, and multiply it to the giver, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.